Can't outrun it. Can't outrun it. Can't dodge it. The truth can hurt you, or the truth can change you. What will truth do to you?
I just wanna be happy, but if I keep on doing the things that keep on bringing me pain, there's no one else I can blame. If I'm not happy, wasted time, but now I can see the biggest enemy, it was me. So I'm not happy. Cry yourself to sleep. Shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
Preach.
If you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out the way. Don't get stuck in how you feel. Say, Jesus, take the wheel. He knows the road that you need to take.
But it only works
if you wanna be happy.
Look at yourself and say,
don't you wanna be happy?
Yeah.
I just wanna be happy. But if I keep on giving my heart for people to tear apart, the healing will never stop. So I can be happy.
Yes, Lord.
Will I ever be happy? Cry yourself to sleep. Shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
If I'm talking to you, then say,
if you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out the way.
You've been there too long.
Don't get stuck in how you feel. Say, Jesus, take the wheel. He knows the road that you need to take.
I feel this one right here. Say,
I just wanna be happy.
Now, if you really mean that, open up your heart and say,
let me hear you say, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're tired of going in circles,
let me hear you say, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Tired of making the same mistakes,
let me hear you say, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Well, now's your chance.
Let me hear you say, yeah,
say, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Are you ready? Come on!
Don't get stuck in how you feel. Say, Jesus, take the wheel.
Wanna do it?
He knows the road that you need to take.
It's so easy to complain.
It's so easy to complain.
Come on!
Addicted to the pain.
Yeah.
You give your heart, they push it away.
But somebody that'll never leave you.
Jesus knows just how you feel.
Yes, sir. Question is,
do you wanna be happy?
Took a long time, but I'm ready.
I just wanna be happy.
Thank you, Lord. Every day, ask yourself,
do you wanna be happy?
Yes, pull over, let him drive.
I just wanna be happy.
How you guys doing today? Thank you. How you guys doing today? Alrighty, I'm gonna ask one more time. How y'all doing today? Today is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Correct? Right. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming. It's Baptism Sunday, so that's why there's a pool up here. Baptism is when either you're an older believer or a new believer, and you just want to give God everything, and he washes you in the blood. That's signifying the blood of Jesus. All righty. So turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready for battle? Come on, I got to hear you. Are you ready for battle? Because the Lord said that you wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities in the heavenlies, correct? Hallelujah. So sing this with me. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. And no matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war. This means war.
Oh, come on and sing that. This means
war. This means war. This means war.
Come on, sing that verse again.
I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my tail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war. This means war.
Hey, come on and sing that. This means.
This means war.
Hey, this means war.
This means war.
Sing, I plead.
I plead the blood. I plead the blood.
Come on and sing, I plead.
I plead the blood.
Yeah, I plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
Come on, let's sing that verse again.
I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my tail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. And no matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war. This means war.
Come on and sing that. This means.
This means war.
I plead the blood.
Come on, won't you sing now?
I plead the blood.
Come on, repeat after me. Sing, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
No, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
No, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Sing, you can't have my, you can't have my.
Blood.
Come on, sing it out.
I plead the blood.
Come on and clap your hands, clap your hands like
I plead the blood.
Come on,
I plead the blood.
Split it up now. Sing, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
Sing, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
No, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Come on, you can't. You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Sing, you can't have my, you can't have my, you can't, you can't. This means war.
This means war. This means war. This means war.
Come on, sing, I plead the blood.
I plead the blood. I plead the blood.
Come on, clap your hands.
I plead the blood. I plead the blood.
Repeat after me. Sing, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
Sing, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
No, no, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Come on, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Sing, you can't have my money. just gonna sing that part again. Repeat after me. Sing, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
No, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
Sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Come on, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Yeah. Sing, you can't have my children.
You can't have my children.
No, you can't have my future.
You can't have my future.
Sing, you can't have my purpose.
You can't have my purpose.
No, you can't have my purpose.
You can't have my purpose.
Sing, you can't have my freedom.
You can't have my freedom.
Sing, you can't have my freedom.
You can't have my freedom.
No, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Sing, you can't have my, you can't have my, you can't, you can't, you
this
can't.
This means war. This means war.
You plead.
I plead the blood.
You better speak it into existence that you plead.
I plead the blood.
While you're singing this part, just get mad and say,
I plead the blood.
Come on, make your snake face. Be like, I plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
Because we're making war on the enemy right now.
I plead the blood.
It's by your faith that you receive, right?
I plead the blood.
So come on, repeat after me. Sing. You can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
No, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
Come on, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Sing, you can't have my, you can't have my, you can't, you can't.
This means war. This means war. This means war.
Come on.
This means war.
We're going to end it out with I plead the blood. Come on, sing.
I plead the blood. I plead the blood.
Come on. Won't you sing it now?
I plead the blood.
Yeah.
I plead the blood.
Thank you.
Sin had crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Jesus, I thank you that I don't have to clean myself up. I thank you that that you've already done it for us, God. I thank you that it's only by your blood that we are washed clean, that we don't have to do something special to be accepted into your presence, because you've already done that. You already did that something special. You already gave that sacrifice.
Good to know you'll never be good enough. When you really think about it, what a relief. I'll never be good enough for God. Not one of us in this room will ever be good enough for God. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But because of the blood of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus, every one of us who confess him are now called sons and called daughters. We're called righteous. We're called pure. We're called holy. All because of Jesus and the blood that he shed on Calvary's tree. You see, today, not one of us can make our way. We can't be good enough. We'll never be good enough. Some of you are sitting back there and said, you know, I'd serve God. I tried it, but I'm not good enough. You cannot ever be good enough. It's only by the blood of Jesus. And with that, you can take a deep breath and say, I love God. I'll serve him all the days of my life because his blood is rich and free. Amen? Shout, I love the blood. Once you turn, you go find five people you don't know and tell them, I thank God for the blood that washed my sins away. Come on, go find somebody you don't know. Be a friendly church. Don't be a snob. Don't go sit down. Go find somebody. If you see somebody sitting, go shake their hand. Hi, Rich. I'd shake your hand, but it's a long ways. I know. Come on, be friendly, be friendly, be friendly. Only a minute and 40 seconds left to be nice and kind to somebody. Say, thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. If you're online, go call somebody. Tell them, get online with me. www.histabernacle.com. Make sure you jump online. Get your family, get your friends. That's how you can be friendly. Just go start texting people. Hook them up with the link so they can jump on and hear the message today. That will set them free in Jesus' name. 57 seconds. Come on now. Go find somebody. If you didn't meet somebody that you don't know, turn around to somebody and say, well, good morning. I thank God for the blood. If you are from grades 7 through 9, 12 through, I don't know the ages, you have a class here just for you. You can go head right out that door right now. Pastor Cody and the team are waiting for you. We have a ministry just for you, the Uproar. Praise the Lord. How's everybody doing? I'm doing great. Thank you. Alan, come out here, please. Has everybody met Alan? Has everybody met Alan before? Do you know your life is not rich enough until you've met Alan? You must meet Alan today. You must go, Alan, go to the foyer right after service. Everybody, turn to someone and say, you've got to meet Alan. You really do. He is a great young man. He loves Jesus, serves God with all of his heart. And boy, you're missing it if you haven't met him yet. Now, you don't got to be his best friend, but you got to meet him. This is Alan. Everybody say, hi, Alan. Very good. Thanks, Alan. Praise the Lord. We have some commercials for you.
Celebrating you the weekend, May 13th and 14th, starting out with our annual Women's Day brunch at the Hilton Garden Inn. You can sign up right in the hub, but make sure you do it right away because space is so limited and it is almost full. You want to make sure you come out with all of the special women in your life. We have such a great time together on Saturday, May 13th. And then Sunday, May 14th is our Women's Day celebration where every woman that comes to church gets a powerful word of God and a gift to celebrate every woman.
Thanks so much for going to church with me tonight. I'm so excited about class.
Mom's excited about class.
Me too.
Praise the Lord. Has anybody tried that yet? Why don't you grab your phone? If you got a phone this morning, you're on Facebook. Grab your phone for me. We have folks that still have flip phones in the church. You know that that's a people of faith. Glory to God. Pastor Banfield had a flip phone till last year. We tried to deliver him. Hallelujah. If you got your phone, why don't you wave it at me? If you'll take your phone and you'll go to His Tabernacle Facebook and check in. Everybody check in this morning. This is our way to stalk you. I'm just kidding. We do want you to know that we love you, that we appreciate you, and that you're important to us. If you're a guest today, we want to welcome all of the guests at His Tabernacle Family Church. And if you're very first time here, we want you to know we love you, we care for you, and we'd love to give you a gift. How many of you wouldn't mind a gift? I like gifts, amen? I like gifts. If you're brand new at His Tabernacle, this is your first time, we'd love to give you a gift. If you'll just raise your hand, we're not going to parade you, do weird things, but someone's going to come right to your chair and bring you a gift. Folks right here, very good. Welcome, welcome. Anybody else? I know there are other hands that shot up. Oh, young lady over there, very good. Anybody else this morning? You're a first-time guest. We want to welcome you. Anybody else? We also want to welcome our live stream family. Our live stream family, we have about 200 people a week on live stream. So can you welcome our live stream family from all over the world? I'm trying to remember where someone told me they were watching. Was it South Africa was watching today? Who was watching today? Somebody from overseas was again watching. We have folks from Mexico. We have people from overseas. We just want everybody to know on live stream, we love you. You're part of our family, and you're very important to us. Amen? Why don't you all welcome my wife, Pastor Rhonda Spencer.
Amen. I love Water Baptism Sunday. It is always so exciting to see. In first service, we had an entire family from grandparents down to grandchildren get baptized. You know, they're not just in there getting wet. This is a supernatural. There's some things that got buried under that water that are never coming back up again. Generational curses, that stuff, that's all gone. And you come up free and free indeed. There is nothing better than being free indeed. So as we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, the kingdom of God is our great treasure. Isn't it? There's nothing in this world that compares to the kingdom of God. All of the benefits of being called sons and daughters and the kingdom of God. I want to read to you Matthew 13:44, and it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and then covered. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field." Treasure the kingdom more than anything else. This man sold everything he had because he found the true treasure in the kingdom of heaven. You see, it changes everything in our giving when it becomes that we're giving our great treasure to the kingdom of God. We no longer make excuses or try to find loopholes not to give. It's our joy because we found the greatest treasure, which is the kingdom of God. Let me read Philippians 3:7-8. It says, "Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. I count everything in this world for the surpassing worth of just knowing our awesome, incredible God who loves to bless his children. He takes pleasure in your prosperity." You see, we at His Tabernacle Family Church love to give. We're a generous church. So if you're ready, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. This is simply the word of God. It's part of our covenant rights as sons and daughters of the kingdom of Christ. And it says, "If I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. come on and bring your tithes and offerings into our greatest treasure, the kingdom of God. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button right along with us, or you can text to give. The information will be up on the screen.
I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, and I'm praying all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war. This means war.
Hey, come on and sing that to me.
This means war. I plead the blood.
Sing, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
No, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
Sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Sing, you can't have my money.
You can't have my money.
Sing, you can't have my future.
You can't have my future.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my, you can't have my.
You can't have.
I plead the blood.
Praise the Lord. Can you give God a shout for our worship team? Hallelujah. They are so good. They're so anointed, and I thank God for them. You know, one of the biggest jobs of the worship team is not to make you happy, but to make me happy. Hallelujah. Because what happens is when I get into the anointing, then it flows right through the worship, right through into the Word of God, and everybody's changed. Amen. The Word of God changes your life. The anointed Word of God changes your life. Say, thank God for the anointing. So we've been in this why series now for 3 weeks. First week was, why do bad things happen to good people? How many of you needed that answer? How many of you that really helped you? The second week was, why God doesn't answer my prayers? How many of you that helped you? Amen. Today is, why doesn't my moral opinion matter? Lord Jesus, step aside. Then next week is Mother's Day. How many of you are excited about Mother's Day? What we do is we don't do a Mother's Day, we do Women's Day, because there are many ladies in the church. I remember the very first Mother's Day we ever did, I had a lady get up, run out crying. And that was because she was unable to have a child, and she hated Mother's Day. And so I said, we'll never do Mother's Day again. We'll do Women's Day. Because, ladies, we want to always celebrate you. You are amazing. How many of you men know that your lady is stronger than you are? First time you see a baby come out, can I hear an amen? Ladies are stronger than we are. Glory to God. I thank God for the ladies in our life. And next week, my wife will be preaching, and she'll be preaching for the Ladies' Day. Then the week after is, again, continuing with the Why series. It will be this. Why is there so much gossip in church? Ooh, Jesus, help us all. Now, what we'd like you to do is, maybe you have a why that's never been answered. We'd like you to send it to our Facebook. Go to the His Tabernacle Facebook. If you're watching by live stream, go to the His Tabernacle Family Church Facebook and send me a why. What kind of why are you interested in learning about? The week after that, I believe we're going to be doing, why do they always take up offerings at church? Yes. Real whys. Because you know what? God is big enough to answer your questions. God is not afraid of your questions. And God knows that if you have a question, it needs to be answered. Our verse for the year, for this is the year of
generosity.
I said, this is the year of generosity. We are the generous church. Glory to God. And today our verse for the year is found in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25, and it says this: the generous soul, turn to someone and say, I am generous. Come on, prophesy if you've got to. Don't prophesy, but prophesy. Turn to someone and say, I am generous. The generous soul will be made rich. The word rich there does not mean rich in spirit. It means rich in finances, rich in goods. God wants you blessed and not cursed. Can I hear an amen? And he who waters will also be watered himself. So, someone just sent me a why. Don't do that while I'm preaching. Comes up on my Facebook. Here we go. So why doesn't my opinion matter when it comes to morals? We have a problem today in the church world, and that is we have so many different levels and ideals of morals. We have created our own compass. In fact, there are so many Christians that actually have created their own Bible. You haven't written the Bible, but you live your Bible. You live your Bible and the morality that you have, what you agree with, you live that through your life, which means you're declaring a Bible, which means you've said, God, I know what your word says, but I would rather have what I believe. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't want to do what you have to do. I don't want to do what your instructions are. I believe this way. I can't tell you how many people have said to me, well, I don't believe that way, Pastor. Well, I just don't believe that, Pastor. And I look at them and I say, it really doesn't matter what you believe. You see, because this is a problem that we've come into with the body of Christ. And let's be honest, in our world. In the 1950s, the greatest trouble they had with high schoolers was they chewed gum and skipped classes. Let's be honest, everything has changed. Now they have dogs going to sniff out the lockers to see how much drugs you can get. Now in some of the schools they actually have the metal detectors to catch the guns going in and out. Listen, everything's changed. What's changed? What's changed is moral value. What's changed is a moral compass. And the difficulty is that the one who's supposed to make the moral compass is not the world but the church. We got quiet on that one, didn't we? When the church has lost its compass, when the church has lost its moral value, when the church has lost its direction in obeying God in his directives, then what's happened is the world will there follow, because if the church is the light, then the only place to go is darkness. If the church is dark, then there is no way to see out. You know, when I was a kid, has anybody here ever been lost before? I was lost once. I was about 15 years old, 16 years old, and it was Thanksgiving Day, and I went squirrel hunting with me and my dog Peanut. And so we went across the street. If you go across the street, then you had a mountain range, you know, and then after the mountain range, if you got over that mountain range, then it would go for 30 miles. I don't want to exaggerate. Probably 30 miles to where you would find nobody. Well, you know, it started to snow that day, and my dog and I were out squirrel hunting, having a great time, and I said, I'm going to stay on this side of the mountain because I know if I get over, I'm in trouble because no one will ever find me. Somehow, I got over that hill. If you have ever been lost, it is the most sinking feeling you will ever feel. It is like, oh, no. The very first feeling is panic. Let's run. Ah! But that's the worst thing you can do. Can I hear an amen? And so here I was scared. I didn't know where I was. I knew that I was on the wrong side of the mountain, which means I'm in the really bad place. And I did the dumbest thing in the world. I just started walking parallel to that mountain. Now you're supposed to sit still and wait for someone to find you. I wasn't smart enough to do that. Thank God, God is good. Amen. I finally came out on a road, and let me tell you, I was lost. I didn't recognize the road. I didn't recognize any of the houses. And I was lost, so I just started walking. I went the wrong way up the road and came across a restaurant that I knew where it was. I was about 4 to 4.5 miles away from my house. I was lost. Listen now, what happens is we have a lot of believers who are lost. They've taken a trip, they've gotten over the wrong side of the mountain, and they're lost. They no longer have a moral compass. You know, one thing you'll find is that when you go to learn how to fly a plane, there's different levels of flight. The very first one is a non-instrument one, which means you've got to be able to see. When you go, you've got to be able to see the runway. You can't just go out and fly. You've got to make sure that it's the bank is high enough so that you can see the mountains, so you can see all the stuff, and you've got to be able to land where you can see. But there's a whole nother level of flying, and that is an instrument flight, where you trust your compass, where you trust your instrument so much that you rely upon it, that even if the cloud is so thick you can't see through, you trust that cloud bank, you trust that instrument, those compasses so well that you put your faith and you can land the plane. Many of us are so much in the cloud bank, but we've not grabbed a hold of instrument training. We have not gotten a hold of the word. We don't know and understand what God's directives are when it comes to morality. Therefore, we live our own life and we're lost and don't even know it. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Isaiah 5, verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. What I always ask the Lord to do is when I'm going to preach is that I don't just stand up and preach a message. I want to say what he would want to be said. For you are not my people. Can I hear an amen? You are God's people. This is not my church. This is God's church. You see, and so I don't have the right to stand up here and just say whatever I want to. I'm supposed to be standing here in his place and speaking the words that he would want to speak. In fact, I almost dressed up like Jesus today. I really just wanted to dress up like Jesus. And, you know, I really just wanted the wig because I think I'm thinning a little. And I figured if I put it on, maybe it'll look better. So here I am. I decided that I want to preach this like Christ would preach this if he's standing right here. And the one thing you've got to know is that morals are a standard. God is a God of standard. Do you know what the difference between a river and a swamp is? It's simple. It's called the banks. Every river will become a swamp when the banks are lost, when the boundaries come down. Many of us are living in a swamp. We've lowered our moral value away from the Word of God, and therefore the direction of the river has changed according to our own design and desires, according to what makes us happy, according to what we agree with and we're okay with, but it has gone against God's boundaries, and we become a swamp. There are so many believers out there that are literally stuck in a swamp that stinks, that is breeding death, and they don't even know it. It's time that you and I get back to the understanding that the Word of God is our moral value. It is our moral directive. It is our moral principle. It is our moral fabric, and that we live according to the Word of God above all things, because the world needs Jesus, and Jesus can't be seen if we're all kind of just doing our own little thing. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Boundaries are so powerful. And if Jesus stand up here and say anything to you, it would be this. The only reason my Father put together these moral values, the only reason my Father put moral boundaries, the only reason my Father put a standard in our life is to protect you. When there are no morals, let's be honest, then everybody can do whatever they want to do. And that's just downright dangerous. And when we do not live according to the Word of God, I'm talking as believers, our lives are in a danger zone. And God wants to bring us back to the place of saying, listen, that God's Word is standard. Everybody shout standard. What's a standard? Standard is that this is how it should be. Well, no one's going to tell me what to do. That's right. If you can't obey the one you can see, how will you ever obey the one you cannot see? And there are many believers who no longer obey God. They don't live according to the Word. They live according to their own value, their own standard, and expect God to change his value to theirs. Are you out there this morning? You know, God is so passionate about this that with the Ten Commandments, how many of you know the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments are really cool because when you look at them, most people don't see them this way. They just see a bunch of rules. But when you really look at the Ten Commandments, you know what you see? you actually see how passionate God is to set forth standards that keep people safe. Now, if you tell your child, don't put your hand on the stove, what don't you want them to do? Well, listen, that's the standard. If they choose to put their hand on the stove, what happens to them? Is it your fault? Is it their choice? Now, let's say they do it twice. Let's just say they're dumb. There's an issue. Once is just, boy, that's not good. Second time is like, duh. You know, we've got to come to back to clarity and saying, God, I know what your passion is. It's to keep us safe. You know, when you look at the Ten Commandments, turn there with me to Exodus chapter 20 real quickly. Exodus chapter 20. Now, I'm going to create an app, and that app is going to be the sound of turning Bible pages. I encourage you to bring your Bibles. Turn to someone and say, bring your paper Bible. Now, I know we all have Bibles on our phones, and I'm all for them, and I already had you use your phones. But the reason you should bring your paper one is you should be writing in it. There's no greater gift to your children than to give them a Bible that's all torn up, written in, where your principles, what God has taught you, are in it. It is the greatest legacy you can give your child. If you give your children, when you die, a Bible that the binding hasn't been broken, then it could be a problem. You need to make sure that it is used. Amen? Praise the Lord. You're awful quiet. Said, praise the Lord. Amen. The very first four commandments, the four moral commandments that are called the Ten Commandments, the very first four, are moral boundaries between you and Him. See, this is important. God so desperately wants to protect you from walking away from relationship with Him. This is not about religion. God did not send Jesus to create a religion. He sent Jesus to build a family. And we all know that in family, there's a necessity to have rules and design and boundaries and standards within every household. Listen, I go to some households, and I know by just walking in the front door that I better take my shoes off. I don't even need to say, should I take my shoes off? I look at their house. I see everybody else's shoes lined up, which says to me, they have a standard. So I take my shoes off. Now, when we lived in this other house in the town of Big Flats for 18 years, we had a different standard. And that was, don't take your shoes off. We had hardwoods through the whole thing. And it was an older house. And we just loved to live in that thing. And it was beautiful. It was fun. You didn't have to take your shoes off. That was the standard. Now we're in this other house, and the standard has changed. I'm not okay with the standard. I do get yelled at often. Why do I get yelled at? Because my wife says, I don't want to mar up the nice floors. You see, there's always a reason for a standard, and it's always to bring protection. God's standard between you and Him, the very first four commandments in the Ten Commandments are this. And God said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and you shall have no other gods before me. Now listen, that's powerful. God is saying, listen, you cannot have any other God before me. Now, if you do, what that means is you have another God. And if you have another God, then God cannot be your God. Can I hear an amen? You shall have no other gods before me. Number two, you shall not make for yourself carved images, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth below, and that is in the water under the sea. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the children upon the children to the third and the fourth generation to those who hate me, but showing mercy to those to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor on the and do all work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And it is not that you shall do no work, you nor your son, and so on and so forth. So the very first four commandments in the Ten Commandments is God setting a
principle up. He's setting a standard up, a moral value up that says, I want to keep my relationship with you. I want to remain as your father. I want to remain in relationship, in talking with you and guiding you and directing you and protecting you. So if you keep these four moral standards, then you know that I am not going to leave you. You know that I'm going to protect you. You know that I'm going to bless you. You know that I'm going to increase you. But if you don't do them, the opposite occurs. How many of you ever caused yourself trouble? How many of you have done something stupid before? How many of you said, if I had not done that stupid thing, I wouldn't be in this position? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. We've all been there, but usually if you'll go back to what you did, you can always follow it back to the word of the Lord and disobedience. Because when we follow in the ways of God and in obedience to the Lord, then there is nothing that will hinder God from blessing us with abundantly above all we could even ask or imagine. Listen now, the last six of them are, this is what I love about God and how he built family. The first four was to protect our relationship with him. The last six is to protect our relationship with each other. He set up a moral code that said there are certain things you do not do in community. There are certain things you do not do in your family. There are certain things you cannot do. And if you do, it will breach my commandment. And what will happen is whenever you breach the commandment of the Lord, breach the principles of God, then there's always retribution. Can I hear an amen? You see, we don't like this fact, but this fact is clearly how if we do not live within it, then we are going to lose our society. And let's be honest, we've really lost a lot of our society. Well, Pastor, you know, I just don't agree with this. And I have people say that to me. Pastor, I don't agree with this. I don't agree that there's a moral value. I don't believe that there's a standard that we should follow. We should all be just okay. And if it doesn't hurt anybody, then it's all right. Well, you know what's amazing about that is that everybody has a different standard in our flesh. I want to remind you that if you're not born again, you live according to your flesh. That means whatever pleases you is what you do do. The difficulty with that is the Bible says the spirit and the flesh are enemies of each other. And if you walk in the flesh, you'll not fulfill the will of God. You see, the flesh is the enemy. You cannot trust your flesh. You cannot trust how you think. You cannot trust your value, because our value compared to God's value is one where you and I are selfish and he is one that wants to protect. And you see, we all believe this. We all believe, I can prove it to you. Ready? If someone, let's just say you lived on a street that is filled with children, and there's a guy driving up and down that street at 60 miles an hour. He's there doing it three times a day. The kids get off the bus, and this dude drives by at 60 miles an hour. You're not going, yeah, it's good for him. No, you're probably marching out to the street, slow down. If he's not going to slow down, then you're going to call the cops, and the police are going to come out, and they're going to try to catch him speeding. You see, even of yourself, we all know the right moral value in our heart. The Bible says that God has written the law of God on our heart. We all know the will of God. We all know what's right and wrong. We don't have to ask God. He shows us not only in his word, but he shows us in our own hearts. Amen. I have found that those who don't believe in moral value, don't believe in standard, this is what it is. Do you realize that it's wrong to murder somebody? Now listen now. You're in your neighborhood, you know, you've had a great day, and your neighbor pulls out their lawnmower. They're mowing the lawn, just relaxing. It's a sunny day, 78 degrees, a slight breeze, and your neighbor runs over your daffodils. So you walk out with a .357 and you shoot him dead while he's riding his lawnmower. Is that right or wrong? Well, why? It's okay for him. He ran over your... Listen, it's his fault. He ran over the daffodils. You're in your right. He ran over your property. Oh. Yeah, I know I'm right. Mark them. Come on now, we all know that if you do that, then you got a problem. You're going to jail. Why? Because it's against the to shoot somebody when they run over your daffodils. And you're gonna go to jail. We all believe this, but when it comes to the kingdom of God and it comes to God's moral principles, we would rather design our own Bible, rather design our own principles that appease us and make us happy, rather than staying with the word and the will of God. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You see, this is where there has got to be a change. Our moral relative truths can never override God absolutes. God has basic absolutes that you should do and you shouldn't do. It is moral value. You know what's amazing is, how many of you have a daughter? You have a daughter, and all of a sudden, your daughter is in Las Vegas, and she's a prostitute just outside the city. Would you have a problem with that? Oh, you would. Why? Why would you have a problem if your baby girl is a prostitute just outside of Las Vegas? It's legal. But it's wrong morally. In our heart, we know it's wrong. In our heart, we would never want to see our baby girl being a prostitute in Las Vegas. Why? Because it would break our heart, because we know that she's being wounded. See, these are principles we know, but as the body of Christ, we like to create our own absolutes. We want to create our own values and tell God, listen now, I don't want to offend you. I'm going to heaven. That's all that matters, right? God is saying, no, you might be shocked. There are absolutes created by God to protect relationships between a husband and a wife. If a husband goes out, commits adultery, is that bad or good? Oh, it's bad? How many wives would be all right with your husband going out and committing adultery? Don't raise your hand. How many husbands think if your wife commits adultery, don't raise your hand either, it could cause problems in your relationship? Of course it does. You see, God's moral value is to protect your relationships. Your relationship with Him, number one. Your relationship with community, number two. Your relationship with your family, number three. Listen now, if you're a young man and a young woman, what's amazing to me is now the moral value amongst the compass of our young believers. I'm talking people, young people that go to church. They do not believe it's a sin to have sex pre-marriage. Well, we love each other. Well, that's not what the Bible says. If you have sex before your marriage, it's called fornication. Sex before marriage. And it's God does not condone that. God says, I don't want you to do that. He's just trying to steal my fun. No, He's trying to protect you. He's trying to keep you safe. Well, we love each other, but you might not love each other. And all of a sudden you've had sex and you've been living together like you've been married. You have a kid and now you bought a house and now you realize I don't want to be with them. Oh, I can't even count those times that I've seen. How about all these young ladies that are being intimate and young men that are being intimate and these young ladies that are going through multiple divorces emotionally because a man has entered them and now they become one. The two shall become one flesh. You know what's so interesting? There was a man on the internet decided that he was going to fix God's moral compass that was wrong. And so he said, that's right. You cannot have intimacy. How do I say this right? You cannot have frontal intimacy, but you can have rear intimacy and it won't be considered sex. And it was propagated in a Christian realm. You see, when we leave it up to any of us to actually create a moral value, we're doomed. This is why God so loved us. This is why Jesus wants this word preached. Why doesn't my moral value matter? Because God has set up the moral value in code already. There are principles that will keep you safe. And if it's led up to you and I to do it ourselves, listen then. If you and I make up our own moral code, then we can't be mad at a rapist. You can't be mad at a rapist if it's their code. You can't be mad at somebody who is a molester if it's their code. You can't be mad at a liar if it's their code. You can't be mad at a drug dealer if it's their code. When we're left up to our own destruction by setting forth our own standard and principle, we are in deep trouble. You see, this is why God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that Jesus Christ set up the principles. For he is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And when we follow the code of heaven, when we follow the principles of heaven, we will always remain blessed. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. God's word is our moral compass. Hazen Werner, who served as a United Methodist bishop in Ohio, Hong Kong, and Taiwan, said this: there is no more startling phenomenon in our day than the respecting of evil. We accept in stride the false promises of politicians, their misrepresentation in advertising, the everyday dishonesties of Mr. and Mrs. John Doe, the cheating on exams, the unusual exaggerations in conversation, and the common immoralities of our times. We no longer blush, and we're no longer shocked by the immorality that's going on around us. Woe to those who call evil good. Well, Pastor, again, you know, I love you and I love this church, but I'm just not going to keep coming because, you see, I don't believe the way you believe. Pastor, I'm not convicted when I do this sin. I'm not convicted when I commit adultery. I'm not convicted when I commit fornication. I'm convicted when I'm selling drugs. I'm not convicted. I can't tell you how many times people have said that to me. The problem with that statement is that it's going according to your value and not the standard of God. I love what Billy Graham said, and he said it this way: self-centeredness is another reason we are so inclined to call evil good. When something brings profit or pleasure to us, we are included to call good evil, even though we know it's dead wrong. But it's what we've always wanted, or it's good for me, although I know it's wrong. And these are the alibis we have manufactured to justify evil and call it good. I can't tell you how many couples I've seen, guys, and we every year we have a bunch of folks get saved that are living together, and you know they're intimate together, and you know I'm not bashing in any way, shape, or form, but you need to hear this, because what would you rather hear, the truth? Or have somebody not tell you. You know, there's churches all over the United States that won't tell you this. They won't share this with you, and they won't because they're afraid you're going to walk out. But I don't know about you. I'd rather have someone tell me the truth. Not everybody in the room. I said I'd rather have somebody tell me the truth. There's nothing worse than waking up on the wrong side of heaven because somebody wasn't willing to tell you the truth. And the truth will make you free. Listen, it might be uncomfortable, but young men and young women, stop having sex together if you're not married. Listen, this has nothing to do with your feelings. So you're driving down the road, and you get this feeling that comes on you. I want to drive 110 miles an hour and see a bug hit the windshield. I just can't wait to see that. So you're so exhilarated, you get on the highway, and you're going a buck 10, and you watch this June bug go. Phew. All of a sudden, you look up, and there are lights. The policeman pulls you over, and he says, excuse me, I need your license and registration. And he says, do you know what you were doing? Oh, well, yeah. You see, I just had this great feeling that if I could see a bug hit the windshield at 110 miles an hour, that I would be satisfied. And I did. The policeman will look at you, walk back, come back. He might just throw you in cuffs or just give you a ticket. That's now going to cost you hundreds of dollars. Never mind the court costs hundreds of dollars. Never mind the DMV is now going to send you a bill of hundreds of dollars. And now to see the bug because you had a feeling, because it was so important to you, because you were driven to break the law to make something happy in your life, has now cost you a grand. But it made you happy. But now you can't pay your mortgage, so now you and your children are living out on the streets. Or you'll call the church and ask them for help. Oh. The legal principles have nothing to do with feelings. God's word has nothing to do. Well, Pastor, I just feel this. Well, it doesn't matter how you feel. It matters what the Constitution says. Every government is established upon a constitution. Every constitution is governed by laws. Where there are no laws, there can only be chaos and confusion and destruction. There can only be people dying, and there can only become a swamp. It's time for us to get back to the word of God and say, God, what do you say about this? God, what do you feel about this? God, what is your word directing me? Because I know ultimately your word is just for one purpose, and that is to keep me safe and to shine your light so bright that the people around me be separate, says the Lord. Come out from among them. They'll say, I know you're born again. I know you live differently. I know you act differently because you are not the same. Help me now. I did this in first service where I talked about Barna. Did I do that yet? I already did that in here. Sometimes I get mixed up with my sermons. George Barna did a study between believers and non-believers in today's church. You know what he found? Is that the Christian and the non-Christian go to church about the same amount of time. They give about the same amount of money. They live the same moral value when it comes to sex. They watch the same movies. When he did the entire study, there was only 1 or 2% difference between a believer and an unbeliever. The problem with that is it shows that the church has lost the principles of moral value, moral fabric, and now what's occurred is that the church is living the same way as the world. Why would we think they would want the God that we serve? The church has lost momentum because the body of Christ is living according to their feelings, according to what they like, that rather than according to the word of God. We've got to get back to the standard. The standard is clear. It's not something hidden. It's not something that's there to harm you or to keep you from fun. God wants to protect you. He wants to protect your husband. He wants to protect your wife. He wants to protect your family. He wants to protect your babies. He wants to protect your spiritual family. He wants to protect your walk with him most of all. God wants to protect you, and that is why he has created standards that will keep you safe. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21 says this: when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are clear. Sexual immorality, which means fornication and also adultery, sex before marriage and sex with somebody that you're not married to. Impurity. You know what's interesting? When I do premarital counseling now, one of the things I have to say is, you're not allowed to have pornography in your marriage. I have to actually say that nowadays and get them to agree on that. The other one I have to get them to agree on is you cannot have threesomes. Everybody been in my premarital, you know I say that, don't I? Yes? Witness? Threesomes are not allowed. Why do I have to say that? Because even the church has gone to the place of the loss of moral value. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery. You know what the word sorcery is? In the Greek, the word sorcery is pharmacia. It's the same word that we use for drugs. You'd be blown away how many 50-year-old potheads we have in church. I'm dead up. How many 50-year-old potheads we have at church? If you're a 50-year-old pothead, raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I'm just kidding. It blew you away how many people have to have a drink. I lived with a man who was an alcoholic. You know how many beers he drank a night? One. The doctors tagged him as an alcoholic. Why? Because he had to have that beer to relax. We have a bunch of believers that are living on the world side rather than living on God's side. We've got to get back to the Word of God. We've got to get back to the principles of the Scripture. We've got to get back to living according to God's standard. Why? The world needs Jesus. The world is lost and dying. And if the church doesn't become the light that is louder than the darkness, then they will be lost for eternity. It is so imperative for us to line back up. Oh, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have said before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that's powerful because let me straight up. You'd be blown away how many believers actually live any way they want and think they're going to heaven. They do whatever they want according to their own moral code, and they actually believe they're going to heaven. They say to me, I had one guy say to me, he said, well, my sister received the Lord when she was 7 years old. She's a meth dealer now, and she's been an addict for many years, but she's still going to heaven because she prayed that prayer at 7 years old. Listen, this is not about a club. This is a relationship. If you're living in sin, you're doing sin. Stop it. Stop. Please. Well, I can't. Yes, you can. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Some of you got to get rid of some of your friends. Somebody got to get rid of some of your friends. And listen, I had someone say to me not too long ago, well, you know, Pastor, I don't feel, I do this sin. You know, let's just say I'm having sex out of wedlock, and I don't feel convicted about it. I don't feel there's anything wrong with it. You know, there's nothing wrong with this, Pastor. It's just, you know, we love each other. And you know what? One of the scariest places to be is when you're going against the will of God and you no longer feel conviction. It's one of the scariest places to be when you're sitting there smoking the weed and you figure that that is just, man, it's just a way to relax and you no longer feel conviction. You know, we wouldn't say that to somebody who's shooting the neighbor because of the daffodils. We wouldn't say that to a pedophile. We wouldn't say that to somebody who goes out and steals your children and sells them into sex slavery. We wouldn't say that to them. But you see, what we do is we have to justify our own standard because I'm relative. God's absolutes do not lose its power because of your relative thinking in the day you live. God's word is yea and amen. And if God said it back 2,000, 4,000 years ago, it is set for today because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God changes not. It's time to get back to God. What does your word say? How should I be living? Well, I don't like that. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. Your kids don't like making their bed. Your kids don't want to do this. Your kids don't want to do that. But you tell them to do it because you know it's going to keep them safe. I remember telling my kids, you will not disrespect me in my own home. You will not talk to me that way in my own home. I don't care if you're 17. I don't care if you're 25. I'll put you over my knee. Well, why? Because if you disobey God and you're in rebellion, the Bible says it says a sin of witchcraft, you will not keep a marriage, you will not keep a job, you will not keep a life, and you're going to live from one spot to the next, living unsuccessfully. Why? Because you did not learn a principle in God's word that would keep you safe. God wants to keep you safe. God wants to keep you safe. God wants to protect you, but he can't protect you if you're creating your own Bible. I'm almost done. We honor our Father by obeying the moral absolutes. He always rewards us. Turn to someone and say, obedience. Tell somebody else, obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, in one religion, they actually have a deal you can do, and that is, if you know you're going to sin on Saturday, Friday you can go see the minister, pay them a certain amount of money, and they'll forgive you of your sin that you're going to do on Saturday, on Friday. It's a great deal. So, I mean, if you know you're going to go out and get drunk, you know you're going to go out and party, you know you're going to go do the sexual sins, you know you're going to lie, cheat, steal, you know you're going to live the way the world, listen, just pay for it beforehand. You got it made. God don't live that way. So the question comes down to is, are we willing to obey God above our feelings and above our own way that we want to think? Are we willing to take our Bibles that we've created to generate our standards, to make us happy and relative in our life that we live? Oh, that was very powerful right there. If we take God's word and throw it away so that we can live our own relative life in our own society that we want to live in, act our own way, then we've got serious issues in our lives. The Bible says it this way. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 15:14, you are my friends if you do what I command. Luke 11:28, Jesus replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. That's a powerful, I'm going to read that one more time. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. James 1:25, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, shout freedom, shout freedom, shout I got freedom. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Deuteronomy 28, we say it every time when we do offering time, and it says this, if you obey, I'm blessed going, and I'm blessed going, I'm blessed in my, and I'm blessed in my, the blessings are gonna, they're gonna, because I'm blessed. We all like that verse until we read the last part that says this, but if you do not obey, all of the curses will come upon you. So we read the first part of the chapter, but forget about the second part of the chapter because it doesn't conform to our relative mindset. My question to you is this. Does your moral value, why doesn't your moral value really matter? Because if it's your standard, it's constantly changing. And everybody has different standard that they can justify. There has to be one standard. And God has set the standard so that you and I can walk with unbroken relationship with him and our community. Amen. Bow your head with me this morning. Father, I thank you so much that you love us so much that you want to protect us. God, you are a good God. Jesus, you are amazing. And we thank you that you love us so that today, even today, you're still speaking so clearly about what you want for us and what you want to keep us from. Thank you. Thank you for protection. Thank you, God, that we are the church, the body of Christ, the light of this world, the salt of the earth. Thank you, God, that we, Lord, choose to walk according to your principles and not to our own fabrications. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to offer you the greatest opportunity of your life. And that is not to join a religion, not to join a church, but to know Jesus Christ. You see, the standard is this. There's not many ways to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. Somebody said to me, Pastor, I want to be part of an all-inclusive religion. Well, this is not it. This is not it. The Bible says there's no other name under heaven which while you shall be saved but by the name of Jesus. You cannot be saved except through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So today, the truth is this. The value, the standard is this. If you do not receive Christ, you cannot go to heaven. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you want to receive him into your life. Maybe you're in a backslidden state, which means you once served God. Now you've gone so far back, man, you're not even sure if you take your last breath if you're going to go to heaven. And you just want to be sure. If that's you this morning, you want to be sure. You want to make sure it's established, unconfused. I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait real long. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you in the row. Thank you very much. You can put it right back. Thank you, sir. Thank you in the back. Is there anybody else this morning? You want to? Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Anybody else this morning? I'm not going to wait real long. Come on. 5, 4, 3. Last call. 2. And get your hand up. 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Why? 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 I want you to know your whys are so important because God wants to answer them to make sure that we're going to walk in relationship. Today, if you raise your hand for rededication, you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to be brave, and I want you to grab the person next to you, and I want you to meet me right here in the front. The Bible says, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before the Father. So if that's you who raised your hand, just step right out of your chair. Come right on up front. Be brave. Come on, give them a hand clap. They're doing the same walk you did. Hallelujah. Right here, baby girl. There were many more hands. If that's you, you just need to be brave. Your heart's beating, palpitating quickly. You're going to be all right. Grab the person next to you and say, listen now, I'm sweating. Don't worry about my hand. It will slide out of yours, but we'll make it to the front together. Amen? I'm going to give you one more shot. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. I'm very proud of you. Very proud of you all. This is Mindy right here. If you'll walk right over to Mindy, she's going to pray with you, encourage you, make sure you got everything set. Honey, I love you. I know you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can I have the prayer team come to the front of the altar real quickly? Right now, we just want to release you. Get out there. Can I ask you to do something? Can I ask you to look at your moral value that you've made relative to your life and ask if it complies with God's word? And if it doesn't, do something brave. Stop it. You'll find blessing immediately coming on your life. Why is that? Because God always blesses those who walk in obedience. Amen? Right after service, if you're a guest, we'd love to meet you personally. Right on the other side of this wall, we have a little guest reception. We'd love to meet you personally. Father, release blessing upon this church in the name of Jesus. Your church, your people, your kingdom. God, we declare, Jesus, by your namesake, that you're going to keep us, grow us, mature us, and that, Lord, we choose to be obedient to your will. Whatever, God, is out of alignment, we ask that you forgive us, and we step into obedience, God, and we choose to shun. Lord, choose to step away that we may walk in your standard for the glory of God. And everybody in agreement, shout it. I said everybody in agreement, shout it. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart.
Got joy.